Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
A ground that will bear fruit a hundredfold, oh God. We declare that we receive a word today that will carry through the rest of this week and this month and this year, oh God. We thank you and we give you praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. We thank God. We thank God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are faithful. Okay, let's turn our Bibles. In the month of January, we looked at faith, and you can catch up with us, for those listening as well, you can catch up with us on podcast, the iTunes store, iTunes podcast, and then on the website as well. But this morning, we'll start a new series on covenant, the blood covenant, the covenant of God. And we'll take our time, we'll study today. We'll look at the covenant that God made with Abraham and how it relates to us as well as believers. Hallelujah. So let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 15 from verse 1-8. Genesis 15, 1-8. Thank you, Lord. He says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, oh Lord, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. He believed God, and God said it was enough for us to move on. There's a difference between believing the Lord and believing in the Lord. But he said he believed the Lord, and that was enough grounds for them to continue. And then, let's turn to Romans chapter 4. Hold your place, right? We'll come back to Genesis chapter 15. But let's go to Romans chapter 4, verse 16-21. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Romans 4, 16-21. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives to the life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendant be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God, through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he has promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. What made Abraham fully persuaded? What made Abraham fully convinced? Abraham, in his day, they used to cut covenant. And so covenant, the word covenant means to cut. And so when God came to Abraham, what made him fully convinced? Initially he said, I go childless. There is no child. I am old. What made him so convinced? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 9 to 10. Genesis 15, 9 to 10. Thank you, Lord. To continue the story that he was talking about, he said, so he said to him, this is what was going to convince Abraham. He said to me, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, and a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these things to him and cut them in two, down the middle, and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And then verse 17 to 18 says that it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed through between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. That's what convinced Abraham. You see, I grew up in Africa, and there are still people that still cut covenant there. And covenant has gone through, I mean, every nation has some form of it. But let's look at how Abraham, in his day, the covenant was done. The ceremony was done for him to be fully persuaded, for him to be fully convinced that what God has said will come to pass. Now, like look at, for instance, Job David, when he faced Goliath. One thing that he says is, how come this uncircumcised Philistine is coming against the children of God? The covenant in Abraham's day was symbolized or finalized with circumcision when one was born. They were born into that covenant. And so, for when a covenant was cut, it made the other recipient so sure that the other party that was involved was so serious about what they were talking about. And so when God told Abraham to bring the animals, he knew exactly what he was talking about. He asked God, that God, how can I know that what you are saying will come to pass? How can I be fully persuaded? Then God said, bring me those animals. And then people in his day did covenants. So before they went into a covenant, both parties came together. A covenant was usually done between families. And when they did the covenant, it had to do with something that the other person lacked. So let's say there's one family that is very strong in war, that is very strong in battle. When they came to the covenant table, the stronger one assumed the weakness of the other family. Let's say there was another family that was intellectually powerful. They were very smart, but they were weak in war, or they were weak in another area. They would cut covenant with another family that was strong in that area. And so by doing that, there was a mingling. They came together. And those two families still shared something in common. Hallelujah. And when the strength of the other one came into play, then the other family, which was weak, will now no longer be a pushover to surrounding people that would try to attack them. They will now be able to walk in the strength of the other family. You see, the Bible is made up of two covenants, with the old and the new covenant. You have to understand covenant to understand the Bible really well. You have to be very conscious of covenant. You have the old and the new covenant. And so the covenant runs through, covenants run through all the Bible, throughout the Bible. And so he said, the first thing that they did was they came together and they carefully reviewed the terms of the agreement or the terms of the covenant. It was carefully reviewed. Because when that covenant was cut, it went all the way to 8 generations. But even in God's covenant, he says his covenant goes for 1,000 generations. That means that covenant is forever and ever. But in Abraham's day, they sat down and reviewed the terms of the covenant. What are we going to get to? What are these two families going to get into? And then, once they reviewed the terms of the covenant, every difference that they had was settled. This thing was very sacred. So they took their time to go through that process. They settled on the terms of the covenant, and when if there was any difference, they settled on that. This was just much more serious than even the relationship that they have from with their siblings, whether they were from the same mother or father. This was much, much, much more serious than just a sibling or brother-sister relationship. And then the next thing, once they did that covenant, all through, even in Africa and throughout the world, once a blood covenant was entered into, it could not be broken. Breaking the covenant meant the death of the other person who broke the covenant. And so they did it very, very seriously. So here's Abraham. When God told him, bring those elements, he knew exactly what he was talking about. We have a language, an expression in the culture that says blood is thicker than water. This is much more serious. This one is blood. Blood is involved here, and so it's a very serious transaction that they go into. Once they agreed on the terms, they chose a site where they were going to cut the covenant, and then they brought the carcasses or the animals as well, that they were going to use to cut that covenant. And they placed them opposite each other. And then they cut the animals from the neck down and put it right there. And then there was a trail of blood that will be in between them. Between the carcasses of the animal, they cut them, and then there was a trail of blood. They call it the way of blood. Remember, in the new covenant, the Bible says that there is a new and a living way made possible by the blood of Jesus. So they put the blood there, and that was the way of blood. And then the next thing that they did was they took off their coats. And taking off their coats as well was very significant. And they did an exchange of coats. That coat meant that whatever authority that I had, I'm sharing with you. Whatever weapons that I had that you don't know how to use, I'm going to teach you how to use those weapons so that you can be proficient at what I'm proficient at. There is an exchange in that process. They exchanged their clothes, and it was a mutual exchange of authority. Like, for instance, in the military, the coat of the military person signifies his ranking or his authority in the military. It signifies what is backing him. So in this case, in Abraham's day, when they exchanged coats, it was signifying the authority that was back of the other person was now assumed. It was now an exchange on both sides. It meant that all that I have is now yours. And all that you had is now mine.
Hallelujah. His coat was an exchange of authority. And it signified that from now on, this family, whatever we had, belongs to the other family. Very sacred act.
They also exchanged weapons. Hallelujah. They exchanged weapons. They exchanged weapons and swore that they were going to teach other the weapons that they have. And by doing that as well, it signified that your enemies are now my enemies. If you were attacked, I will assume the responsibility to defend you, even if I had to die. And then the next thing that they did was they pronounced the blessings. The blessings on each family. They pronounced the blessings. And so in Abraham's case, that is what we know as the blessing of Abraham. When God cut covenant with Abraham, blessings were pronounced on him. And everybody that followed in the line of Abraham was ushered into that blessing by circumcision. The blessing was so big that Abraham couldn't imagine. He said, I will make your descendant multiply as the stars of the heaven. And here is Abraham with no child, with nothing inside to tell him that he is going to have anything. But by God cutting that covenant with him, he was fully, fully persuaded.
And then the next thing that they did as well, that they pronounced curses during the ceremony, the curses of breaking that covenant, the curses of breaking whatever agreement was being agreed on. And then to finalize it as well, they cut their wrist and mingled it together, and a scar was created that they tried to make as permanent as possible to remind each other of the covenant that they were entering into. Once they did that, they swore their loyalty to each other. And they said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am going to be your strength. I am going to defend you all the way through the generations that will even follow after. I will die for you even if I have to die for you. And then the next thing that they did as well was they exchanged names. They gave each other names that bound them together in that covenant. That said that these two families are now joined together and they are now one family. We are now sharing everything in common. Now we are one family. That was so crucial. That was so important that the names were put together in Abraham's day. And then the next thing that they did, which was also very important, was that they ate a covenant meal of bread and wine together. Other nations, what they did was actually, instead of the wine, they actually had blood involved. But because God wouldn't let the Abraham use blood, in those days they used wine to signify the blood. But really what they were saying was, now we are blood brothers. Now we are in covenant together. Now we have come together and we will defend each other even if we have to shed our blood. And so this made Abraham persuaded. And so he did it exactly the way that God said he should. And when the sun was going down, one thing that they did as well was that both parties went through the way of blood, back and forth. And so when the sun was going down, just to signify to Abraham that this covenant cannot be broken, this covenant cannot be dissolved, God went passed through again those animals that had been cut. And fire went through that way of blood there.
He said, take for me this element. And then once he did that, Abraham was now sure, fully convinced, fully persuaded that God, what God has said, will come to pass. He was not sure of God's mercy. He was not sure of God's kindness. He was not sure that the agreement that had been done would definitely, God will hold his part. In his mind, that was settled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, the blessing of, he blessed him and he said, I'll make you fruitful. I'll make you multiply. I will defend you to the very limit. I will back you with all my authority. I will back you with all my power. And as part of that covenant as well, I will send my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave him the promise, a son who will be of your own seed, who will come and defeat the enemy, the devil, for you. But for now, this covenant that I've made with you, you are going to give birth. You are going to walk in the fullness of my blessing. You are going to walk in the fullness of all that I've purposed to do in your life. And when Abraham left there, he was fully persuaded. His name was Abraham. His name was changed Abraham before. Now his name was changed to Abraham, the father of many nations. And so every time that he was walking around, every time that he said his name, it reminded him of the covenant that he had made, or that Almighty God had made with him. A father of many nations. There is no baby here. There is no nations in sight. But God said, I am a father of many nations, and so I'm going to call myself by that name. He gave him a name to remind him that what God has said, it seemed impossible. It seemed that it will not come to pass. In the natural, it was no way it was possible. But thanks be to God. He's the El Shaddai God. He's the Almighty God. And he, when he said it, it comes to pass. We read, he said, I have made thee a father of many nations. God, who calls those things that be not as though they were. He was telling Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. And Abraham said, if God has said it, then let it be so. If God has said it, I believe it. And the Bible said that it was counted to him for righteousness. We have to do the same thing. If God said something, this new covenant, this covenant is sworn in the blood of Jesus. And so if God said it, that settles it. To Abraham, as far as he was concerned, that settles it. No matter what the issue is, God himself has spoken his word. And his word that he has spoken will come to pass. Hallelujah. Now, he has taken on God's name. He and God are together. He and God are partners. In the same way, we and God are partners. We and God, we are said to God, God, Lord Jesus, you are my Lord. I choose to serve you. Once the covenant was entered into, the authority behind it was backed by the other stronger family. And so we were weak. We were without God. But God himself initiated that covenant with Abraham, of which we believers are partakers of it as well. And we'll see that. But we came to God and we said, God, I cannot do this on my own. God, I need help. We had the message of the gospel, and we came to him. And when we came to him, he said, son or daughter, I will back you with my strength. I will back you with my power. I will back you with my ability. I believe because I sent my son to come and die for you. Hallelujah. And so, the promise that was made to Abraham, the covenant that was made with Abraham, part of it was the Lord Jesus Christ coming to redeem man back to himself after what Adam and Eve had done. And that blessing promised Abraham
was now shown.
And how does it relate to us today? Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Thank you, Lord. Galatians 3:16. It says, now to Abraham and his seed. Notice it doesn't say seeds. It says seed. Where the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds. And as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ. So the seed was Christ. And then, if you go to jump to the Galatians 3:29, it says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. He said the promise was just to one person, not to seed, but to seed, the seed of Abraham. But the good news is, if we are Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. Heirs according to the promise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Galatians 3:13 says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That is the promise that he's talking about. He's saying that the blessing of Abraham, when God cut the covenant with Abraham, saying that in blessing I will bless you, in multiplying I will multiply you, that promise was applied to Christ. And if we are Christ, then we are heirs of the same promise. We are heirs of the same blessing that was promised to Abraham. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs, promised the Spirit of God. God promised the blessing to him. And so that blessing was operating mightily in the life of Abraham, that he even went to war with 300 servants trained in his house, and he conquered 5 kings and 5 nations with that. The blessing was operating, and then God said, I will deliver you from all your enemies. And we as believers, as Christians, now he's saying, if we are Christ, then are we Abraham's seed. It is almost as if you were there when that covenant was cut, and that blessing or that promise applies to you as well. He told Abraham that anyone that blesses you is blessed. Anyone that curses you is cursed. And so when he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to defeat the enemy for us as part of the covenant. Satan has already been defeated for us. When God raised him from the dead, he endeavored as well. The Bible says in Colossians 2:15 that he put off himself, principalities and powers, and made a public show of them. He destroyed him that had the power of death. That was part of the covenant agreement. And so thank God we can walk in the freedom that has been purchased for us. Hallelujah. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. The blessing has come upon us, the Gentiles. The blessing has come upon us who were not initially part of that agreement. Through Christ Jesus, that blessing has come upon us. That blessing is now upon us. God has given us his name. The name of Jesus Christ now belongs to us as part of the covenant. The authority that Jesus Christ took has now also been given to us as the body of Christ. Jesus Christ, before he left, said, in my name, go in my name. He gave us that authority in his name as part of the covenant. Go in my name. You shall cast out devils. You shall heal the sick. All the things that you saw me do, I give you that authority as part of the new covenant. The new covenant was now sworn in the blood of Jesus. Jesus, when he died, took his blood to the very heavenlies, the holiest of holies. And God accepted the token of that blood. And the Bible said that that blood ever lived to speak for us. That is the way, the new way, the new and living way by which we can go into the presence of Almighty God. And so we laugh so many times. Like Abraham, you might run into a difficult situation. Situation that seemed impossible from the natural standpoint. But thank God, we have the covenant documented for us in the Bible. And we can go into the Word of God and say that the Bible says, Philippians 4:19, my God said, he shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so when I'm faced with a need, when I'm faced with the impossible, I can go to God because he says with God, all things are possible. And he also said in another, he says that all things are possible to him that believe. Remember, Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. God said, you have a hearing. But thank God, in the New Testament, he, Jesus Christ, is our righteousness. We can go into the presence of God, unashamed, unafraid, and say, God, this situation seems impossible, but no, with you all things are possible. Hallelujah. 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 That agreement and that covenant is available to us. Sworn in the blood of Jesus, it cannot be broken. It's an ever-living covenant that we have become a part of. Hallelujah. And when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, the Bible says that we also became joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. We became joint heirs. We inherited with him whatever he inherited. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Romans 8, 17. It says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We became partakers of that covenant, of that new covenant that God swore by virtue of us being in Christ. Joint means that whatever if you have an inheritance and it was passed down to you and was divided equally amongst, let's say, siblings, you become a joint heir with that person that you have inherited. And so he says, by virtue of you being in Christ, if you are in Christ, then you are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. It's a covenant of love. God himself chose to cut that covenant. God himself chose to send his son. The Bible says that for God so loved the world. Love is what drove him to cut that covenant. God wanted a family. God wanted fellowship. God wanted to be together with us. And that is why he did that. He says, we are joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever he inherited, we inherited as well. But the key here is, as we go through this, you will see that it is a covenant of love. God himself came down to Abraham and made that covenant with him. And we became beneficiaries of that covenant. Beneficiaries of the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. And so when Jesus Christ came, he came as ministering as well under that covenant. When he came, wherever he went, the Bible says, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power. who went about doing good. He was driven by compassion. He was driven by covenant love. He was driven by covenant compassion to go and deliver people from the oppression of the enemy. That is what drove him. And so, as well, we have to be conscious of the covenant that he has made with us and our rights and responsibilities as well in that covenant. We are conscious of his name. We are conscious of the fact that we have inherited his authority. And with that authority, we go out in his name, in his name, in his name, and we fulfill what he has told us to do. We go out with the mandate knowing that we are backed by Almighty God himself. We are backed by all the power that is at the disposal of God. We are backed by his love. We have his love nature in us. And so we can laugh the way he does. We can walk the way he expects us to. We can hear his voice and walk in fellowship with him. And he has given us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. He is with us because of that covenant love. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He is with you from the time that you are saved. And even before you got saved, he was calling and reaching out to you that I love you. I want to enter into a relationship with you. I want to help you. I want to be your helper. I want to go on with you and walk. Let's walk hand in hand. Let's walk in fellowship. Let's walk together. I want to talk to you, and I want you also to talk back to me. That is what he was looking for. And so, we have to be fully persuaded as well. We have to be fully convinced that what he has said, he will do. His word is his bond with us. It's his covenant with us. It cannot be broken. It cannot be broken at all. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And now he speaks to us. He talks to us through his word. Every day, make it a point that you go into the Bible and you say, God, speak to me through your word. Your word is you speaking to me. I take that word. Wherever I go, I know that your word says, you will never leave me nor forsake me. As I go forth today, I know that you are with me. As I work, I know that you are with me. The people that I interact with, I know that you are with me. Your hand is upon me. And the Bible says that he's ever mindful of that covenant. And we should be mindful of that covenant as well. Mindful of that covenant. Mindful of God. Mindful of Jesus. Mindful of the Holy Spirit. Mindful of his word. Mindful of the angels that are ever worshiping him and that are ever as well with us to protect us. Mindful of that covenant. And so before Jesus Christ went, when he came to that table with bread and wine, he was talking to Jews at that time. They knew exactly what he was talking about. He said, take this. This is my body. The bread was representing his body. He said, this is my body. Take and eat. This is my blood. Take it and drink it. They knew that from then on, even though Jesus was leaving, they knew exactly when he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. They knew exactly that now they were in a covenant relationship with him that could not be broken. And every time we come to the communion table, every time we come to that table, we are conscious of the fact that his body
was broken for us. His body was made sick so we don't have to be sick. His body was broken so we might have his peace. His body was broken for us so the way could be open for us to come back to God. His body was broken for us so that our broken lives can be brought back together and made whole like God intended it to be. And his blood, as we partake of it, we are conscious of that covenant. We are conscious that he is ever with us. He will never, never, never leave us or forsake us. So no matter what comes, you can be conscious and say, I am never, never, never without help. I am part of the family of God. And if you are not part of the family of God, you can be as well. It cannot be broken. It's a covenant that cannot be broken. He's given us all he has, and we give back to him all we are. We go to him and we say, Father, thank you for all you have done. I will live my life as well to fulfill your plan and your purpose, to fulfill what you have called me to do, to be a part of your plan to reach lost humanity and bring them back to God. To be a part of it, ever conscious of that covenant. When that covenant was cut, Israel, as a tiny nation, could defeat nations that were bigger than them. Situations that may seem impossible to us, God himself can make possible. And say, because of the blood that ever lives, that ever speaks, that blood ever lives to speak for us, we can go into the presence of Almighty God because of that blood, because of that covenant. Lay our petitions there and know that he is a Father that hears and answers us. And we go and we enjoy fellowship with him, and his desire to bless us is way more than we can imagine. And whatever we do, we know and we are conscious of that covenant. This week, may we ever be ever conscious of the covenant that we have with Almighty God. Remember throughout your whole Christian world that Jesus, because of what he has done, he has given you access back to Almighty God. And there is nothing, no impossible situation that he cannot do. Abraham believed God. He was fully persuaded. And then he began to agree with God that what God has said will come to pass. Let's do the same. What he has said, he is faithful to do. His covenant ever lives to speak. He's made us joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. It might come upon us who were outside, without God, without hope at all. We can be partakers of the same covenant, the same blessing. He defends us. He protects us. He watches over us. Ever mindful of that covenant, he provides for us. And we go out in his name, in his authority, in his power that he has given us. And we fulfill all that he has called us to do. Mindful of that covenant. Let's pray. This morning, you have heard God's word. I want you to begin to talk to God, begin to pray, whatever you came here with this morning. The word of God is pregnant with God's power and God's ability, making us joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Covenant love that will go the limit for you. Let's begin to pray and call upon him this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name
that is above every name, that name by which we can approach you and come into your very presence. Thank you for the covenant with Abraham, and that was ratified as well with the blood of Jesus, of which we have become partakers. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to your name. Begin to talk to God this morning. And thank him for that covenant. Thank him for that covenant. Thank him for that word. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank him for the blood of Jesus. Thank him for the name of Jesus. And say, Lord, whatever that it seems impossible before you, thank him that because of the blood of Jesus, it is now possible. Lord, we give you praise. Glory be to your name. We thank you for our very lives. We thank you for your name. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can come boldly into the presence of God, unashamed, unafraid, because the way has been opened. The way has been opened. If you are here as well or listening and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, say this prayer after me. You say, I've heard this word and I want to be part of this covenant or this family that you are talking about. Say, Lord Jesus, I've heard your word. I believe that you died and rose for me. I confess with my mouth Jesus as Lord. And I receive you and I'll serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Let's just worship him. Father, we give you praise and glory. We thank you, O God, for the privilege. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are ever the same. You never change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, for everyone here and everyone listening as well. I pray that our week is blessed. This week we see your goodness and your mercy. We see your hand in our lives. You fill our mouth with your goodness and testimonies, Lord. And we are careful also to hear your word and your voice and walk in the fullness of the blessing that you have provided for us. And be a blessing to people around us as well. We thank you. And we give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you that you have delivered us from all our enemies. Every oppression in our lives has ceased. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.